2 weeks ago, I was here, I shared the word with you, and I really had a sense that God wanted me to share on the affirmation of Jesus, and even where we as the sons and daughters of God need affirmation. There's nobody in this room that can say they don't need affirmation. There's no one here that can say they don't want a pat on the back every now and again. Some of us ran hectic schedules. Some of us are very busy. We heard Tanterika, whinging about being the mommy at home. That's good. JL, you need to do it more often. Sometimes dads forget what it's like to be a mother, what it's like to take care of the kids. But even as dads, we need that affirmation. And I shared with us a couple of points on how the Father had affirmed Jesus, how he had looked upon his son and affirmed him for different things in his life that he had seen what Jesus had done. And I want to remind us this morning what they were. The Father said to his son, he said, I'm well pleased with you for the simple reason that Jesus was submissive. Jesus was humble. Jesus was totally surrendered to his Father. And Jesus was human. Lost my thing is gone again. Okay. I'm going to dump that. Forget it. I can't believe this. He was willing. He was generous. He was obedient to the point of death. And today I want to share with you on the humane Jesus, or the human Jesus, because I think sometimes as people we forget that Jesus was a human, that Jesus came to this earth and he lived as a human being. And we kind of like, yeah, well, you know, it's all pie in the sky, it's all airy-fairy, we all the super spiritual thing. But there's the realities of life. There's a inside this flesh and blood is a real living human being. And a guy once used the reference like this, and he said, your body is like that packet that you get from Leader Price or from Jumbo or from ShopRite. That's all it is. It carries the contents of something very precious, very valuable. And those of you that go shopping and come out the shopping with bags and bags and bags of goodies will know that the stuff inside those bags is valuable to you, because without that, you're not going to survive. So he likened the human body to a plastic shopping bag. And folks, that's what we are. This flesh here is going to decay. It's going to rot. The worms are going to eat it. The bones are going to be picked clean, spotless, nice, and no, there'll be nothing left on them. It'll be clean, clean, clean. If you don't believe me, ask somebody to open up one of these tombs. You can go inside and go and have a look. So folks, this morning I want to share with you about the human side of Jesus, and how does that affect us, and where do we fit in on this humanity of Jesus? How do we cope with day-to-day life from a humanistic point of view? We live in a humanistic society. We see on the television, people are protesting for human rights, and they marching down the streets, and they burn houses, and people set themselves on fire for human rights, all kinds of stuff. But you know, the wonderful thing is, as we sit here this morning, Jesus identified with us as human beings. So before we go there, let us close our eyes, let us pray. I want to pray for Kim. I want to pray for Celestine. He's on the other side of town preaching his heart out probably right now. So let us pray that God would inspire Kim. God would refresh the church, because I believe that we don't go to preach a new message. God's word is never new. It's refreshing. It comes there to stir our hearts, to stir our spirits, to refresh us. So let us pray for Kim. Let's pray for the word this morning. Father, we want to thank you this morning. Father, this morning we are without words, oh God, when we think of what Jesus has done for us. When we think, oh God, that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords left his kingdom, came and lived as a man here on earth to identify with us, that he could lay down his life, that we could have life, oh God, way above what we could ever imagine. Father, we stand in awe of you this morning. We stand in amazement, oh God, even as we sang this morning songs of praise, songs of gratitude, songs of thanks for what Jesus has done for us. Lord, we are reminded, as your word says, who are we that you are mindful of us, O God? And Father, as we sit this morning as a family, as a congregation, we pray, O God, Lord, that your word would refresh us, O God. We pray, Lord, that it would stir something afresh in us, O God. It would challenge us into a deeper relationship with you, a closer relationship with you, Father. We pray, Lord, that your word would just bring about truth in our life, O God. And Father, this morning as we sit here as a family, we think of Kim, the other side of town, as he goes to share with the church in Anasazat S. Father, we pray, Lord, that the message that you have given him, O God, would be a message that would refresh the church, O God. A message of refreshing, O God. That it'll be water on parched soil, O God. It'll be a word that would go forth and it would stir the hearts of men and women. We pray, Lord, that you would inspire Kim, O God. We pray, Lord, that you would anoint lips of clay. We pray, Lord, for Celestine and his wife as they lead that ministry. We lift them up to you this morning. We say, Father, just come in your fullness, O God. Meet their every need, O God. And Father, as a family this morning, as we sit around your word, Lord, refresh us, O God. Father, I pray that you'd anoint lips of clay. May we not leave here the way we came in. But Father, we would leave here totally refreshed, totally stirred, totally excited because of who Jesus is. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, I want to speak on the humanity of Jesus. The Word of God says that Jesus came and he lived as a man. He came, he laid down everything. He gave up his kingdom. He came to earth. Came with a mission, with a purpose, with a destiny. He came with a mandate to set humanity free. To set you and I at liberty. When you look at the person next to you, you're looking at a miracle. You're looking at somebody that has total freedom. You're looking at somebody that is far greater than you could ever imagine. Because for us, we just see people as people. We don't look deep. But I want to say to you this morning that the Father looks deep. And when he looked upon humanity, after he had created Adam and Eve and the heavens and the earth and the fauna and flora, and he looked upon humanity, he knew you were precious. You were special in his sight. The Word of God says this in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Folks, that is such a powerful scripture for us that are sitting here today. There's so much reality in that. It speaks volumes and volumes and volumes. Books have been written. Videos have been made. CDs have been printed about this scripture of the man Jesus who came and lived as a man. I love what he says there. He says, in every way he has been tempted as you have been tempted. And I want to give you this morning a couple of points on the human side of Jesus, how human he really was. Sometimes we have this painted picture of the supernatural guru who floated around the face of earth, took 5 loaves and 2 fishes and fed a multitude. All kinds of stuff like that. Walked on water. Calmed the storm. Healed the blinded. Fed the multitude twice. Called the disciples. And folks, it was a human side to Jesus. And sometimes us as humans, we forget how human Jesus was. And the first point I'd like to make this morning is this. Jesus was loved. John 15 verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. Jesus was loved. You, this morning, are loved by your Heavenly Father. You, in turn, can love. Jesus loved because He loved. But you know, Jesus had an unconditional love. And us as humans, sometimes we don't have an unconditional love. We have a conditional love. I will love you if. I will love you because. I will love you maybe tomorrow. Young people that are going to get married in this room that are not married yet fall in love. Old people in this room fell in love, are still in love, and should continually be in love. You know that Jesus loved because He was loved. But it was an unconditional love. And folks, we need to ask ourselves this question. Do we know this kind of love? Jesus knew it. But do we know it? Do we live it? Do we practice it? Well, I've told this story many, many times. The guy meets the girl. I love you so much. I'm going to spend the rest of my life with you. I'm going to swim the deepest seas, climb the highest mountain. I'm going to go through hurricanes. I'm going to fly with Maff in a one-prop jobby, overloaded. I'm going to get in that helicopter when the back rotor's not spinning to come and visit you. Because I love you so much. But I'm not going to visit you tonight because there's a storm on the horizon. It's not love. That's rubbish. Love is unconditional. We find that all we have to do is go to the book of Corinthians and we read what love is. Love is not selfish. Love is not bitter. Love is kind. Love is caring. Love is sharing. Love is compassionate. Love is compelling. Jesus experienced all of this. He loved because He was loved. We need to love because we are loved. Why don't we love? So what's the question? Why don't I love Tantirika? Because he's a Malagasy? Because he's married to Jayela? Why don't I love you, Tank? Oh, should smile, I love you. Eh? Of course I love him. He's my brother, he's my friend. I do love him, but why don't we love? You know why we don't love? Because we've never been loved. Some of us that are sitting here have had bad experiences. Parents, loved ones, spouses. Bad experience of love. We don't understand that the Father has an unconditional love. Because we only understand a conditional love. We only understand a love that is reflected by the bank balance, the car we drive, the house we stay, the area we live in, the city we live in, the country we come from. That determines our love. But I want to tell you that the Father has something far greater than that. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter where you go. It doesn't matter what. The Father will love you. And Jesus loves you as well. The human side of Jesus was that He understood love because He was loved. Second point, He was tempted. Anybody in this room never faced temptation? Anybody? How many of you face temptation? No, we all do. It's human. It's human to be tempted. It's human to be tested. It's human to be tried. And if we go to the book of Luke chapter 4, we'll find that Jesus went into the wilderness, and the scripture says that He was 40 days in the wilderness, and He was there with the wild animals, and He was tempted by the devil. Folks, you think us, as God's people, would never be tempted by the devil. that we'd never face temptation. No, I'm a saint now. I've done all the 10 points to salvation. I've repented of my sins. I've confessed my sins. I've been baptized. I've done this. I've done that. I've done that. And the Word of God says that I will never sin again. I cannot sin because Christ dwells in me. The Holy Spirit dwells in me. So therefore, I cannot sin. I cannot be tempted. Oh, I've got news for you. Who wants $1 million? Hey, you've just been tempted. I just tempted you with money. Imagine that. It's a temptation. $1 million. Wow. What can I do with $1 million? Jesus was tempted. He was tempted by the devil. The devil came and tempted him. Have you ever stopped to think what Jesus went through those 40 days that he was in the wilderness? The sun beating down, rough, wild, no food, no water. You think he wasn't tempted to go and find a fruit tree somewhere? I remember in South Africa, a friend of mine, I had two friends that we prayed with. We were prayer partners. We decided one Friday night we were going to go and fast and pray for the weekend. So we got in the car on a Friday afternoon. We put an 8-pack of water on the back seat and off we went into the mountains. We got in this cabin. There was no electricity. There's nothing there. Just a rock cabin. And we started praying and we praised the Lord and we were all excited. It was Friday evening, so everything was fine. Got up Saturday morning, we took a walk in the mountains, a beautiful stream. It was stunning, it was wonderful. And I saw my one friend, he was kind of like, you know, when guys get the twitches. I said, Charlie, what's wrong with you, brother? He said, hey, my stomach, man. I'm angry, man. Hey, you guys are mean. I said, well, you know, we'll go back on Sunday. By 5 o'clock Saturday afternoon, he was in the lake. He said, if I can catch a trout, can I eat it? I said, yeah, you can eat it, but you have to eat it raw. And he was in the lake in his jocks there, and he was like, man. He was tempted. The hunger tempted him. They want to surrender those few hours for God. Folks, we get tempted over and over and over again. So many things that tempt us. But you know, the wonderful thing is that Jesus knows. Jesus understands that temptation that you're going through. Because the scripture says that he was tempted and tried and tested in like manner that we have been tried and tested. Secondly, he was challenged. Luke chapter 4. The devil came to him and said, if you say who you are, if you are the Son of God, if you be the Savior of the world, if you be the King of Kings, if you be the Lord of Lords, why don't you make this stone bread? You think your faith will never be challenged? You think your faith in Christ would never be challenged? You think that the devil is just going to say, ah, okay, there's another saint. Leave him alone. Don't touch him. No. Go and read the book of Job. The book of Job says that Satan came before God and he walked in front of God and God said to him, where have you been? He said, ah, I was walking to and fro upon the face of the earth. He said, yeah, and? And then he said, ah, and I saw your servant Job. And then God bragged. And he said, yes, an upright man, an honest man, a man of integrity, a man of my heart, after my own heart. He's my man. And the devil said, yeah, you're right. That's because you have a hedge around him. You have him wrapped up in cotton wool. But take that cotton wool away and I'll show you what I can do. I will show you what will happen to that man. There was a challenge there. You know that Satan challenged God on Job's life. God said to him, you can do anything you like to him, but don't kill him. You cannot have his life. You cannot have his soul. And we know the story. Job lost all his family. He lost everything that he had. He ended up with nothing. He ended up on an ash heap. His wife came to him and said to him, you miserable old man. Look at you. Curse God and die. He should have got rid of his wife. A good wife there. You miserable old man. Curse God and die. No, he said, no. Even if he kills me, even if he slays me, in him I will trust. The devil lost the challenge. Do you think that he doesn't do that today? The Word of God says that he is the accuser of the brethren. He comes before the Father on a daily basis and he accuses the brethren. He accuses you on a daily basis. But you know, the wonderful thing is that Jesus knew that. Jesus knows and knew what it was like to face a challenge. Oh no, Jesus doesn't know what I'm going through. He doesn't understand the pain I'm having. He does, oh, God has forgotten about me. Oh God, where are you? What's happened? Have you gone on holiday? Like the prophets of Baal with Elijah when he said to them, he said, maybe your God has gone on holiday. Maybe he's in the toilet somewhere. Call on him. Cut yourself some more. God never slumbers. God never sleeps. God never goes on holiday. You know what happens? We slumber. We sleep. We go on holiday. We lose our hope and our faith in God. Ah! God has forgotten me. Ah! God, where are you? Why have you forgotten about me? No, you know what? God doesn't forget about you. Jesus wept. He knows what it's like to feel pain. He knows what it's like to lose a loved one. And they came and they told him that Lazarus was dead. The scripture says that Jesus wept. There's an emotion there. There was a feeling there. There was a connection there. It was his friend. It was his buddy. When he died, Jesus wept. So if you're sad here today, if you're sorrowful here today, if you've lost a loved one, whatever it might be, Jesus feels that pain with you. Jesus knows what you are going through. He was rejected. John 1 verse 11. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Folks, I want to say this. We live in a world of rejection. You meet many people rejected by their families, rejected by society, rejected by their spouse, rejected by their loved ones. Rejection, rejection, rejection. Madagascar, I think it's one of the most rejected nations I've been in my life. It's sad. It's sad. But you know something? The wonderful thing is that Jesus can identify with that rejection. Because he was rejected by his own. His own brothers never believed him. His own brother said to him, hey, come here. Hey, Jesus, come here. Come with us, man. We're going to go to Jerusalem. We're going to go to the feast, and then you can show the people what you can do. You can make water into wine. Hey, we can have a good party, man. You can turn stones into bread. We can really have a party. Didn't Isaiah say something about a big banquet that you were going to prepare? Why don't you come with us and we're going to do this fancy thing and prepare this big banquet? They never believed who he was. They never accepted him for who he was. They never understood him, that he was the Son of God, the key to eternal life for humanity. Because he was just their brother. Folks, in ministry, your own family sometimes doesn't believe you. I was packing, stuffing the container to come to Madagascar. On our way to Madagascar, I was so excited. Tickets were bought. Business was sold. We're going to Madagascar. We're going to go on a mission. We're going to go and do something that we believe God has called us to do. My dad drove up to the driveway with me. We'd come from a prayer meeting. Said, hey dad, check the container, man. We're going. He was like, oh, okay. We'll see it when it happens. We'll believe it. We were two weeks away from getting on the plane. Rejected by our own families. Rejected by our friends. Rejected by our loved ones. Rejected by our peers. Those in the school. Teachers in the classroom. Rejecting the kids. Folks, I want to tell you, if you're sitting here this morning, if you have any sense of rejection, in a good place. Because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords knows what rejection is. And he can bring about healing. He can bring about a change. Jesus knew what was rejection. He was acquainted with sorrow. Isaiah 53 says this. Who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant. And as a root out of a dry ground, he hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. The prophetic word of Isaiah about Jesus. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and the Omega. The beginning and the end. Why are we here this morning? So we can sing some songs, feel good. No, we are here because of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He experienced anxiety. All you have to do is go to Luke 22. Oh, how could Jesus experience anxiety? He was the King of Kings, for goodness sake. He was God-man. He never had a day's... He was not anxious for 1 second in his life. How many of you struggle with anxiety? Now, when Kim asked me to preach this morning, I was anxious 2 weeks ago. I was like, God, give me a message. Shaking. What am I going to preach on? It's not always easy. It looks easy, or you think it's easy. It's not easy. You get anxious. There's this anxiety that burns. And you get ulcers and all kinds of things. And take medication and pop pills and instead of just taking the Gospels. And there was Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. The scripture says that he went down on his knees and he knelt down before his father like that, and he prayed. And he cried out to his father and he said, Lord, he said, if it's possible, if it is at all possible, let this cup pass me by. There was an anxiety there. There was an anxiousness there. Why? Why was Jesus in that state? The scripture says that his sweat almost turned to blood, or did he sweated blood. Folks, I tell you that an Olympic athlete at the peak performance, that is so pressed for winning and achieving the goal, it's possible for them to sweat blood. The pressures and everything that come with it, and the stress and the strain and everything of getting to that place of winning that gold medal. And yes, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's agonizing before the Father. Father, if it's possible, if it's at all possible, please, please, Father, take this cup away from me. The scripture just writes there that Jesus knelt down and prayed, Lord, no. Hey, Peter, what the heck is this, bro? Why are you sleeping, man? Can't you pray with me for 1 hour? And then Jesus went back again and he prayed. And he was anxious. He was in agony, agonizing before the Father. And we don't understand this, folks. We don't understand this. Do you know why? Because he knew the human. He knew the person. That when he knelt there, he knew that he was going to go to Calvary. He was going to take on the sin of the world. He looked in that cup and he said, oh man, not Gavin again. Not Gavin again. Oh God, not Gavin again. Please let it pass me by. There was an anxiousness there. Jesus knew where he was going through, what he was going to go through. And folks, as we sit here and we go through the day-to-day trials and tests and hardships and the pain of life, the wonderful thing is that Jesus identifies. Jesus knows, because when he knelt in the Garden of Gethsemane and he took that cup and he said, Father, if it be your will, if at any time it's possible, let this pass me by, because I'm not sure that in my humanness that I can take it. I'm not sure that I can carry this load. It's far too much. He saw the sin of the world. He saw the nature of man. He understood it because he felt it. He lived as a man. Tempted, tried, tested, rejected, despised, hated. He knew it. That anxiety there. Folks, are you feeling anxious about something? It's not uncommon to be anxious. It's quite normal. It's quite human. It's in our DNA. He was betrayed. Luke chapter 22. Betrayal. It's evil. Brings about a lot of pain. Brings about a lot of suffering. When we are betrayed by our loved ones. When we are betrayed by our fellow human beings. Judas was the treasurer for Jesus. That means that Jesus trusted Judas. Because he gave him a very honorable position. He gave him a very trustworthy position. Where's Emil? Where are you, Emil? Just stand up. That's Emil. He's my treasurer here at school. You can sit down, Emil. I've got to trust him. I've entrusted the finances of the school in his hands. I've got to trust him. Jesus trusted Judas. There was a relationship between Judas and Jesus. He carried the bag. Huh? No, not Judas and Emil. No. Jesus trusted Judas. There was a connection there. And Judas came into the Garden of Gethsemane. And for 40 pieces of silver, he betrayed Jesus. He went to Jesus and he kissed him. And Jesus said to him, he said, Judas, do you betray the Son of Man with a kiss? Maybe you've been betrayed. Maybe you know the pain of betrayal. So did Jesus. Jesus understood that betrayal. Jesus forgave. Jesus forgave. We're quiet in here this morning. Very quiet. Making me nervous. Jesus forgave. Folks, this is a killer. Forgiveness is a killer. It will destroy your body, your soul, and your spirit. Because it breeds bitterness, it breeds envy, it breeds all kinds of things. No, you don't understand. I can't forgive this person. You don't understand. You don't understand what that person did to me. You got no idea. Yeah, you're right, I do. I have no idea. But can I tell you something? God has an idea. Because Jesus understood forgiveness. He was able to forgive because he understood forgiveness. Because he understood that he came to get us forgiveness from the Father. And when he hung on the cross, battered and bruised and broken and smashed, and I love that movie, that DVD with Mel Gibson. I love it. It gives us a glimpse of the pain and suffering that Jesus went through for humanity. He hung on that cross, beaten and broken and bruised. We read it there. He was despised. He was rejected. He was battered. He hung on that cross. He cried out to his Father. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I want to ask you this question this morning. Do you harbor unforgiveness in your heart? Do you? Do you have total forgiveness? Can you forgive? Have you forgiven? Will you forgive? Jesus forgave. God has forgiven us our sins. He has cleansed us from all unrighteousness. He has wiped the slate clean. He has cast our sins and our failures into the sea of forgetfulness. He has cast them as far as what the west is from the east. Never to be remembered again. And yet, Gavin, forgive your brother. No, God. No. No. No! I won't. I refuse. I will not. You don't understand. He must come and ask me for forgiveness, then I will forgive him. He did me wrong. I never done him wrong. No. We'll have this argument. In the ministry, you sit with people. Marriages. Yeah, but you don't understand what Mary did, and then but John, just forgive Mary, please, man. Let's move on. No. You don't understand what she done. Scripture is very clear. It says if your brother is taken in a fault, your brother, your sister, your mother, your granny, anybody, if they have failed you that are spiritually strong and sound, go and in love, forgive them, restore them. Forgive them. Folks, we don't. We hang on to these things and they kill us. Jesus said, do not fear him who is able to kill both the spirit and the soul, but fear him that is able to kill the body. The other way around. Get this right. Thanks, you. The other way around. Wow, there's abundant truth in that. What is going to kill this Checkers packet, this ShopRite bag that carries the Gavin that's inside of it? The leader price, the jumbo, the whatever. What is going to kill that? Everything that I sin against my flesh. Overeating, overdrinking, overindulging, overexercising, underexercising, overworking, smoking too much, drinking, whatever, taking, smoking, runguni, drinking, tokagasi, whatever it is. It's going to kill this body. It's going to kill this flesh. It's going to get all kinds of diseases. But folks, what is going to kill the man that is inside you, the spirit that has been given life because it has been breathed in by the Spirit of God, has breathed upon you and given you spirit life? What kills that? When I read the Bible, it was very clear. It is bitterness. It is envy. It is strife. It is unforgiveness. Those things that eat away like a cancer to your soul. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. And I think sometimes God sits on his throne and he looks at us and he shakes his head because he knows we don't know what we are doing because we don't have an understanding of who he is. This great God that loved us, that forgave us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Gave it for forgiveness. He gave Jesus that we may be forgiven, that we may live free. He experienced rejection. Mark chapter 15, Jesus hung on the cross. Jesus just forgave those that had beaten him to pulp. Jesus forgave those that had hung him on the cross. And then he cries out with a loud voice and he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You feel forsaken today? Feel like God has forgotten about you? God is a million miles away? Jesus hung on the cross, looked to heaven and said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you left me? His father couldn't look upon that sin. Couldn't look upon Jesus as he hung on the cross and he had us upon him. The sin of the world. Every bit. Every bit of evil. Every bit of wickedness that Jesus had to carry for us as humans. In his humanness, carried it upon himself. My God, why have you forsaken me? You feel forsaken this morning? In a good place. Jesus understands. He knew what it was like to be forsaken. We see the truth of Hebrews 4 because Jesus has experienced what we go through on a daily basis. And that is why he quoted in John chapter 10:10 this. He says, the thief has come, or the thief comes only to steal, kill and destroy. But I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. The thief, the devil, the wicked one, the one that will come and turn it around in your mind. What about this and what about that? What about this area of your life? What about this unforgiveness? What about this bitterness? What about this rejection? What about this sorrow? What about this pain? What about this? And he will come and he will steal from you. He'll steal and he'll destroy. He'll steal away your joy. He will steal away your peace. He will steal away your happiness. He will steal away your assurance. He will steal away your confidence. He will steal away your talents. He will steal away your abilities. He will steal away. And he's done this over and over and over again in the local church. The unity of the church. He'll steal it away. He's a thief. He'll take it away. And he'll steal away your love. But because Jesus had a human side, he understood and still understands us. And that is why he prayed in John chapter 17. He prayed this prayer for his followers, his disciples, and for you and me. John chapter 17. My prayer is that you, is not that you take them out of the world. Oh no, Jesus, why did you pray that? I want to go to heaven. Lord, come. Everyone's praying, rapture. Get into a tight situation. Yeah, if Jesus comes down, I'm going to get out of this situation. Wow. Let the clouds roll away and let the trumpet sound. Let Jesus come. It's going to be the end of all my problems. I've got news for you. Jesus wants you to be here. You have a mandate. You have an agenda. You're not here by some chance. There's a reason for it. And Jesus said, He said, don't take them out of the world, but protect them. Protect them from the evil one. Isn't that wonderful? We have this protection in the world, but protected. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them, you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved me. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Folks, Jesus understood humanity when he prayed this prayer. He knew the real issues of life. He knew what it was like to go hungry. He knew what it was like to go cold. He knew what it was like to feel pain. He knew what it was like to weep. He knew what it was like to be rejected. He knew what it was like to live in a family. He knew what it was like to grow up with a stepfather, stepbrothers, half-brothers, whatever you want to call them. I don't know. He knew what it was like. The human side of Jesus. And I leave this with you this morning. Do you understand that Jesus was human as you are? The trials, the tests, the tribulations, the working of your faith, Jesus understood that. Why don't you bow your heads with me in prayer? Maybe you're here this morning and you're struggling. Maybe you're struggling to get a grasp on the fact that God loves you. God cares for you. Maybe God's a million miles away. Folks, we come here that God can refresh us. If you need prayer this morning, whatever it is, God knows. All I want you to do is just slip up your hand, raise your hand. I want to pray with you this morning. I want to pray that God would turn the circumstances and situation around. Is there anyone in the auditorium this morning that wants me to pray with them? They see that hand. Anyone else? Don't let this opportunity slip you by. God knows your heart. God knows where you are at. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you this morning. We want to thank you, Father, because of what Jesus has done for us. We want to thank you, Lord, that Jesus understood every area of our affliction, every area of our trying, every area of our testing, every area where we have failed, oh God, Jesus knows. And Lord, we know that there is life and life abundantly in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, even as you have seen the hands that have gone up this morning, the reaction to your word, O God. Father, you know every situation. You know every circumstance. We just pray, oh God, right now. Whether it's physical, material, spiritual, whatever it may be, we pray, oh God, won't you intervene? Won't you undertake, oh God, in that wonderful name of Jesus. We thank you, oh God. Amen.